And we're going to invite you to the book of Matthew chapter 6 once again. Matthew chapter 6. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we've also been looking at the very subject of the Lord's model prayer. And I gave you the challenge last week as we were closing the service to meditate upon the Lord's Prayer. There's a lot in it for us to think about. We gave you last week some simple thoughts, and I want to once again reiterate a few of them with the simple promise, if I can, of pulling together this paperwork that I've been kind of making these little notes here and there and scribbling throughout the week. I'd like to be able to give you a little bit of a rundown of all the things that we will think about and have thought about, especially in the subject of this Lord's Prayer, this model prayer of our Lord. Look with me, if you will, at verse 8 of Matthew chapter 6, down through verse 15. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord, direct our hearts today as we turn to the Word. May we learn of you. May we sit at the feet of the great master teacher, and may we come away with lessons that share truth and that prepare our hearts for our communion time around the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, there's no doubt in looking at this text that those last couple of verses might feel like they're grating against everything we've been taught. We believe in eternal security. Once saved, always saved. We believe that the Lord forgives, and upon the cross of Calvary, judgment upon our sins was meted out, and it's gone. There is no more judgment for the saint. But we also know that there's such a thing as practical righteousness, practical sanctification, practical obedience. And so our text challenges us in terms of practical obedience. How are we to pray? Hey, prayer is nothing if it's not practical, right? We come to the Lord with our needs. We come to the Lord with our prayer requests. We come to the Lord seeking an audience with him. We come before the Lord praising his name. We come before the Lord with this model prayer in mind and try to touch all the bases if we can as we go through our prayer lives with the Lord, especially as we seek to grow in learning how to pray. It is a grace. It is an effort. It is a challenge. You get better at it as you practice it. But isn't it interesting? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a big word, trespass. It's the idea of somebody who steps across the line, who's somebody who denies your rights and just walks all over you. It's somebody who sins against you. That's the word trespass, like we trespass against God. The basic lesson of all of this is we must learn to forgive if you are to know the fullness of forgiveness of God's grace. You must learn to forgive. So we don't have an excuse, but it is the hard thing. We gave you that quote by C.S. Lewis. Forgiveness is a great idea as long as you don't have something to forgive. Then it becomes a burden. It becomes a challenge. It becomes a pressure. It becomes difficult. We certainly see our Lord talk about forgiveness throughout the scriptures. And we cannot help but remember and have ringing in our ears, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a gracious God to forgive offense. You know, we sin by sins of omission, sins of commission. We sin by willfulness. We sin by stubbornness. We sin by forgetfulness. We sin by mistake. We live among sinners. And so we look at this text of Scripture, and we are amazed at, one, the simplicity of it, the brevity of it, but we're also amazed at the breadth of it as well. We shared with you last week that, first of all, we see our Father in heaven. That is a great reminder that we don't live in this earth as if it's our home. We don't belong here. Where your Father is, that's where you're going to be. That is heaven. That's where you belong. And so we approach this world and our prayers as if we're a pilgrim going through life. And then our Lord is setting the stage for how we're to observe this. There's essentially 6 or 7 prayer requests here we shared with you last week. In all probability, it's six. The last two, as we look at verse 13, are connected together. Lead us not, deliver us not. The other two requests of the second pair, set of three, are connected by the word and. And so the first request, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. One, two, three. Four, five, six, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Do not lead us into temptation. So we look at this outline, basically, the first three requests are about my dedication to the Lord. When we pray, we are rededicating ourselves to our God, His authority, His command, who He is in our lives. It's focusing upon Him first. And so dedication is the first three. Dependence is the second three, the second list of three. Dependence on Him. We come to Him for our need. My daily bread, I'm hungry. I'm a needy person. We come to Him for our society. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those around us, we're looking at others. And then we come to Him for dependence on Him for my mission, my purpose. Don't lead me into temptation. Defeat the evil that would defeat me in serving you. Why? Well, because the first three, in dedication to Him, there's a dedication in reverence to His name, hallowed. You know, when I was a kid, I remember my parents teaching me this passage. And we did the Protestant thing. We used Matthew. I think the Catholics will use the Luke version. And so you find a different kind of set of words there. Because I believe our Lord taught this more than once in his ministry. That appears to be why there are some distinctions. But in this case, He's teaching us along the line of saying, hallowed be your name. As a kid, I remember being taught hallowed, you know, because hallowed didn't make sense to us. That's the mistake we get into. God's name isn't hollow. It's hallowed. It's hallowed. It's saintly. It's set apart. It's unique. It's something where we're demonstrating reverence. So my dependence on Him begins with dedication to Him because of reverence for His name. We alluded to that in our Salt and Light for this week and next week. Reflects upon the names of our God. What do these names mean? We got to meditate upon those. Second of all, we relinquish our own self-control. Your kingdom come. You're sovereign, God. I'm not, and I'm thankful I'm not. Because my mistakes that I would make if I were sovereign would be awful. But God doesn't make mistakes. He's in charge. Your kingdom come, relinquishing my control. Lord, You're in control. And then obviously responding to His control. What do I do in light of His control? Your will be done. Obey His will. Do what He tells you. So reverence His name. Relinquish my own self-control and respond to His truth, because then I come before Him in my neediness, and I come before Him because of my society's neediness, and because I come before Him in total dependence because I need His protection, or I will have no purpose. Believers, that's in a nutshell what we find with the Sermon on the Mount. In the sense, the Lord teaches you to pray, God, You are holy. God, You are the one in charge. You are sovereign. And God, You are worthy because I am needy and my society is empty without You. And my purpose will be unfulfilled unless You meet these needs. What a prayer request. The other thing that I want you to remember as you meditate on this prayer, this model prayer, is the fact that our Lord says that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your soul, heart, mind, and spirit, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the reason why verses 14 and 15 are as if God hammers up the message twice. Our Lord says, just in case you forget, you want to be forgiven? It'll be measured to you in your sense of forgiveness the way you forgive others to such a degree. And that really is worth a lot of consideration. Why would the Lord say that? Well, because the model prayer is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your spirit, but don't forget to love your neighbor as yourself. And the way that looks is learning how to forgive. The most supreme way of demonstrating love for your neighbor is forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is huge. It is a huge concept, and it's going to always be with you. I alluded to this in the Sunday school classes. I thought about that this week. You know, you go tripping through life in joy because you've been born again, and somebody somewhere along the line reaches up out of the muck and mire that you're running across and grabs your foot, and down you go. And that's what forgiveness is like. Somebody grabs you and trips you up in your spiritual condition, and all of a sudden the sanctified saint is no longer a sanctified saint because he's got anger there. And it would be wonderful if the debt that somebody owes you, because that's our Lord's words in verse 12, forgive us our debts, what you owe, it would be wonderful if what somebody else owes you is just today's momentary debt. Wouldn't that be nice? But in reality, many times the tripping up that people give is not just a today thing, it's going to be tomorrow too, because they don't learn their lesson. And they're going to continue to run over you roughshod. And they're going to continue to try to trip you up. And so you can pick yourself up and dust yourself off, but you're going to have to learn to forgive again tomorrow, because we're human beings. It's my society. It's where I am. What helps you do that? How do you learn to forgive? Well, it's got to begin with a healthy view of God. But at the same token, forgiveness, as it's experienced in your world, whether you're born again, if you're truly born again, you are forgiven of your sins. There is no more penalty to sin. However, your experience in that forgiveness is different. It's like a father who says to his child, you are going to inherit all I have. But I'll tell you this, it's going to be doled out to you every day because I know you're a spendthrift. I know that you're going to spend it all anyway. So it's you have this inheritance, but today, here's your allowance. In a sense, God says to you, you have all my inheritance of forgiveness, but today you expend it out a little bit. And that has to do with forgiving others. As we forgive others, he forgives us. That one author put it this way, and I think it was a tremendous statement. He says, you look at this text of Scripture, and if you're not born again, and yet you're praying this prayer because it's rote in your mind, how awful would it be if you're an unforgiving person to say to God, forgive me just as I forgive everybody else? And then it forces you to stand back as a thinking Christian and say, how do I forgive others? What are my standards in forgiveness? I'm going to forgive, but I won't forget. I'll forgive one or two times, but not three or four. Shame on you to fool me once. Shame on me. Let you fool me twice. Right? Isn't that what we do? We have our little gradations. Oh, you know, that person's just, you know, they're an unsaved person. You can't expect anything more than an unsaved person's behavior. But this Christian over here should know better. Oh, it's just a child that did this to me. But you know, that 40-something, they should know better. Believers, we do have somewhere in the back of our minds this little gradation of things. And there are certain slights that we really feel more than others. Some of us are really blessed with a good forgetter. I'm kind of one of those types. I have a good forgetter. Unless you remind me directly of what it was, I've got a general idea, but I really don't know the specifics. That's just the way my mind works. I don't know what the reason is. It must be because I was dropped on my head as a kid. But you guys, some of you remember things because you feel them deeply. And not only that, there are times when there are things to forgive every day from the same source. And yet we have the same words to both of us. Father, forgive them. Forgive us as we forgive others their debts. And the Lord backs up and he hammers it home. Forgive our trespasses, our high-handed sins against God, as we forgive those with their high-handed sins against us. One of those things that God impressed me on years ago, when I was kind of reviewing some of the lessons I've learned in Christianity, was that you really aren't hurt in life until a Christian does it to you. Until a Christian really stabs you in the back. You really don't know what real forgiveness is until that happens. And to have to forgive. How do we beat this thing? How do we understand it? Well, scripturally speaking, the Lord gives us some instruction. And we will save some of this to next week. But he gives us some instruction. Here, the first step of that is to look at Christ. If there's anybody who should have learned lessons in our spiritual lives with God, it's you and me. Because we hold the Bible in our hands every day. We know to read the Scriptures. We know to pray. We know we are experts in the Word compared to everybody you know at work or people you bump into at the grocery store and all your neighbors. You're an expert in the Word because you sit here. That's the blessing of what Hanover Baptist is all about. You're an expert in the Word of God. And so the Lord looks at us and he sees us stumble over that same old silly little sin that our Savior had to pay for and continues to pay for and pays for again today, because we're sinners. Even though we know a lot about the Lord's word, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. And so we look at the Lord, hallowed be your name, how I must be in reverence of you and in awe of you. And you know, it is your will, your sovereignty to which I relinquish everything. And I must respond in obedience, your will be done. And so I come before the Lord and I am poor. I have nothing. Lord, give me just today the bread I need for tomorrow. Provide that bread, as we talked about last week. I'm needy. And you know what? I have a society around me that's needy, and I'm part of it. I sin. And there will be others who sin against me. But you know, God's the one who begins this circle of forgiveness. He says, Jesus Christ paid it all. And he's willing today, once again, to fulfill in your life and mine, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. He could have said again, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once you have sight of that kind of forgiveness, then you are equipped to deal with somebody else's trespass against you. Trespass is an ugly word. It's where we have taken the right of someone else. What's God's right? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And we have taken that and we've stomped all over that and we have sinned against God again. Why are we surprised that others sin against us? In the humility of our heart, I am to respond to the Lord and say, I need you. My society needs you. And if I'm to fulfill my purpose, I need you to keep me from leading me into temptation. How does that happen? Well, if I don't get that second half of that prayer request right, Father, forgive me as I forgive my debtors, then I am going to be led into temptation and I'll be in the hands of the evil one. It all works together in this passage. And I believe that is why the Lord backs up and says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. An unforgiving man, an unforgiving woman is unforgiven. Isn't that what that says? It's what it says. I didn't say it. I don't think I would have said it. But it's what Christ says, and he understands forgiveness. An unforgiving man or an unforgiving woman is unforgiven. Plain and simple, isn't it? So what that does is it drives us to our knees, and we have to grip this passage in prayer and say, Lord, teach me to pray, like his disciples said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your spirit. And you know what? Then you'll know how to love your neighbor as yourself. Because you'll know what forgiveness is. And to one who's forgiven much, it's easier to forgive others. Because you see Christ in it all. Next week, we'll try to pull this together into some kind of a little format you can put in your hands. I would encourage you once again, not only around the communion table to think upon this, but also to be thinking upon it this week once again. Not only for the blessings of liberty, but we're at liberty to serve the Lord. We are at liberty to forgive. There are unsaved people around you who do not know what that means. But you do, because you know the Lord's prayer. You know the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know the Lord says, you know what? Confess that sin, and I'm faithful and just to forgive that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because I will not lose. I will win. And the Lord would desire to do so in your life too. Let's take a few moments, reflect upon these little lessons, and then I would encourage you to pray, and then I'll close in prayer as we prepare for the communion table. Father, your goodness and mercy is our portion because you are indeed a good God. And you have left us here on this earth where slights and troubles and trials come. Father, your son even says it in the Gospels. There will be offenses that will come. And Father, so you put us in a place where we are going to be challenged one day to the next with regard to this loving our neighbor as ourselves, forgiveness, as we would desire to be forgiven. And yet, Lord, we come to you needing forgiveness every day, just as Peter needed to be washed because of walking about on this earth, so we need to be washed afresh each day. Father, coming to the communion table, it is a reminder of the significance of your word and what it means. May we learn to forgive, and may that forgiveness be something that is a God thing in our lives. Just as you give us faith, just as you strengthen faith, may we rest upon you to learn to forgive others, because we are bathing in the glories and the sunshine of forgiving grace of our Heavenly Father. We depend upon it. We expect it. We rely upon it every day. May we learn to be a forgiver in a way that pleases you, first because we are to reverence you, and second because we are a testimony of your redeeming grace. So Lord, help us as we gather around this communion table to rejoice in the truths we learn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.